It's still cutting out. It blinking in and out. So let me change the battery in this right quick. We'll get started in a minute. All right, check, check. Let's see if this will make any difference. Might and might not. So I'm just to recap a little bit. I brought a message before talking about, you know, our God is a triune God. Got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's one God, but you still had the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And he said he created man in his own image. Well, he created man in three parts. He created him a spirit, a soul, and a body. And when you get saved, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he saves your soul. He saves your spirit. I'm sorry. Your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved. And your body will be saved. The flesh will be saved. You know you'll be resurrected if you pass on before Christ comes back. Your body will be resurrected from the dead at Christ's return. And you'll be reunited with a glorified body. So that's the three parts. I always tell people it's made like a biscuit. A biscuit usually has flour and oil and water or milk, whatever how they fix them. And it's just like your body's just like the same three parts. It's one thing, but it's three parts. So when your spirit man, is dead. Before you receive Jesus Christ, the spirit that lives inside of you or is inside of you is dead because of sin. It's dead because of sin. That's the penalty of sin is death. Spirit man is no longer alive that was created in the beginning. When man was created, when he created Adam, he created him from the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into him, which was the spirit he breathed into him, the spirit of life. When you're saved by Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, that spirit man becomes alive. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead becomes alive inside of you. The Holy Spirit seals, and I'm going to give you a scripture, Ephesians 1 and 13. That's my first scripture for tonight. That's where I'm going to start. Ephesians 1 and 13. You're sealed with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Your spirit man, your living spirit is sealed. It says in Ephesians 1 and 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, your spirit man that is alive is sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to cut to the chase here. I'm going to read in Romans 1 and 8, and I'm going to go through this quickly. Scriptures, or you can write them down. Romans 8 and 1. Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. And I talked to you about this when I talked to you before, that there's no condemnation to those that are saved. Once you get saved, once your spirit man is sealed by the Holy Spirit, sin doesn't have any effect on your spirit man. Sin that comes into your flesh. If you commit an oops, it doesn't have any effect on your spirit man because your spirit man is sealed. Your spirit man is well and alive. And when God sees you, when God looks upon you, he looks upon you in the spirit. So what is he looking at? When God looks upon you, he looks at your spirit man. And your spirit, he don't look at your flesh. He don't look on your soul. He looks at your spirit man. And because God is a spirit, We worship Him in spirit and in truth. You all know that scripture. We worship Him in spirit and truth. Because He's a spirit, He looks on us in the spirit. And what He sees is the spirit of Jesus Christ living in us. He sees the same perfection of the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead in us. And He sees our spirit as perfect. Some more batteries? In my pocket. All right. Praise God. Your spirit man is alive, sealed by the Holy Spirit. When God looks in at you, when He sees you here on this earth, He looks at your spirit man. And He sees you as being perfect. And He's happy with that. He doesn't see any sin in your life. Sin is, you have been forgiven. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He paid the price. He paid the penalty. The charge, the cost for all your sin. He paid all the sin committed yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You're forgiven for every sin you committed in the past. He committed, forgave you for every sin that you have committed today. And He's forgiven you for every sin that you'll commit tomorrow. Every sin you've already committed and committed in the future has already been forgiven. Now, it becomes manifested in your life. Now, people say, well, you still got to repent. Yeah, well, what does repent mean? Anybody know what repent means? To turn away from. Yeah. All you, what you do is you admit, you confess that you've sinned. Yeah, I messed up, Lord. I'm not going to do that anymore. And you turn away from it. Simple as that. It's already done. It's, you manifest it in your life. You turn away from it. You confess it. You repent, you turn away from it. That sin's taken care of. Even if you die in this life, but that sin unconfessed, it's not going to send you to hell. Sin doesn't send people to hell. What sends people to hell is not accepting the blood of Jesus Christ. Not accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. That's what sends them to hell. Because again, what God looks at, what God sees, is your sealed born again, spirit man that is alive and well in you at all times. When you pray, if you see me praying most of the time, now I'll give God praise and glory. But when I pray, I bow my head. You know why you bow your head? Well, to give reverence. Yeah, that's one reason. But I bow my head because my Lord's living right here. And I speak to Him right here under my nose. That's where He's at. I don't have to reach out way out in the wild blue yonder, beyond the universe, to speak to God. Because my Lord lives right here. The Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, and God is God. They're all the same, and living right here inside of me. And that's as far as my prayers have to go. Some, I've heard people say, you got sin in your life, your prayers ain't getting past the ceiling. It's not true. That's a misinterpretation of Scripture. Your prayers only have to go right here. They go to your heart. What's in your heart? God sees your heart. And how does He see your heart? Because He's a spirit, and He sees the spirit man that's alive and well in your heart. That's what He sees. And He loves you for that. Nothing you can do can make God love you any more than what He already loves you. And nothing you can do can make Him not love you any more than He loves you. That's the way God is. He's a loving, giving God. Now, I'm saying that again. Nothing you can do can make God love you any more than He already loves you. He's already loved you enough to send His Son to earth in the form of a man to die for each and every one of us. He's already done that. But there's nothing you can do here on this earth in the flesh or in your mind, which is your soul, your mind realm, your thinking realm, your conscious realm, that's your soul. Nothing you can do can cause Him to love you any less than what He loves you. Because He is the same yesterday, today and forever. He doesn't change. You know your scriptures. I'm talking to the choir here. I'm not talking to somebody that's unchurched and doesn't know these things. You all know these things. You've heard them before. I'm just emphasizing and bringing them back to your memory a little bit so that you'll know. So you can't, you're walking, you may have sin in your life. And I'm telling you, if you think back on sins that you committed in your past and you think, well, I'm just not receiving from God what I used to receive. I just don't feel as close to God as I used to feel. I just don't think God will answer my prayers because I've been so bad in the past, or I've committed sin that I just can't get over. But God doesn't look at it that way. God doesn't see those sins. He doesn't even think about them. When you're forgiven, you're forgiven. That's the end of it with God. He's through with them. He sees that spirit, man. He sees the same love inside of you that the day that you were born again. And if you got those thoughts in your mind that you're too bad for God to love you like he used to love you, it's your own thinking. It's your own soulish thinking that's causing it to be that way. It's not God. It's not God doing any less for you. It's not God loving you any less or caring any less for you. It's your own thinking. And if you do have sin in your life, if you have got sins that you committed or that you're walking in, and some people walk in sin daily, everybody commits sin. The Bible says if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. And that's a sin in itself. So there you go. But if you got sin in your life that you commit, some people commit sin on a daily basis. They still are Christians. They still go to church. They still do things that, you know, try to walk in the Lord as best they can. The reason God likes for you to confess sin is not for him. It's not to confess sin for him. It's to keep the devil off your back. Because your sin is the inroad for the devil, Satan. Oh, he loves to see you sin. He's not going to convict you of it. He's going to cheer you on. And that's the way he gets into your life. That's the way he gets into your business. That's the way he eats your lunch. Sin in your life. And God wants you not to have sin in your life, not for him. Because it doesn't affect God. It affects you personally. And it affects Satan and his ability to manipulate your life and cause hurt, cause discouragement, cause depression, oppression. All these things are attacks that he makes on your life. Things that's coming against you. It's not from God. It's from the devil. It's from Satan. Because God is love. And he lives by the law of love that he created himself. And he gave it to us through Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let me find another scripture here. It says in 1 John 2:2, and he, which is Jesus, is the perpetuation of our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And it says in Galatians 4:6, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's that Spirit I was talking about that's living inside of you, in your heart. So when you pray, your prayers don't have to go through the ceiling. They don't have to go anywhere but right here. Because that's where God lives, inside of your heart. If you don't believe it, you can ask my 2-year-old granddaughter, Chloe. You ask her where Jesus lives, she says he lives in my heart, right here. That's what she'll tell you. Praise God. Everybody's sins are paid for. Either you had to trust the Lord 100% or you had to trust yourself. They can't be combined into two. You've got a Savior who earned your salvation, and he also earned your trust 100% because he put 100% into it. God placed all your sins upon Jesus. And sin is a non-issue with God. It's just not an issue with him. People think it is. They think, oh, I've messed up. God's not going to be able to bless me. God's not going to be able to use me. God's not going to be able to take care of my finances. He's just going to be so angry with me. I'm telling you, God is not mad with you. Just because you had a uh-oh or boo-boo or whatever you want to call it, he's not mad with you because he loves you too much to be mad with you. He's not upset with you. He's not going to turn you off or push you away. You push yourself away. He doesn't do it. Everything here in this flesh is under your control. Can't do any more with you in your flesh than what you allow him to do. Because you've got God on the inside of you. That means he's on your side. And the instructions that you have for life is in the Word of God. It's in these books that you got in the back of these pews. It's in these books you got on your shelf or by your chair where you sit at night, wherever you keep your Bible. I know a lot of you keep it by your bedstand. You may keep it by your chair. You may have it somewhere else. But that's where you get your instructions for life from. That's where God tells you his plan for you. He's aware of the sin in your life, and he'll tell you to quit doing it. He'll convict you of it. But it's not because he's going to reject you. He's already paid for your sins, and God loves you, and he knows Satan will destroy you if you choose to live in sin. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his job. And the thief is Satan himself. That's his job, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Well, he can do it because God lives inside of you. He can't possess you. And the only way he can do it is for you to give him the inroad to get into your life. That's through sin. A lot of people choke on this. And it's the very reason most of us aren't experiencing more God. We limit what God can do because we tie his willingness to use us to his ability in our lives through our worthiness. We feel like think we're not enough to be able to do a job or do a task, that we're not worthy enough to receive his blessings. That's all a lie. It's all a lie, every bit of it. You're always worthy. You're never not worthy. Your soul, your spirit man is always sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sin does not affect it one bit, not one iota. And that's what God sees. He always sees a perfect man when he looks on you. Praise God. 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. Did you catch this verse? It's beautiful. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. There it is. That's what the Lord sees. He sees your heart. He doesn't look on your outward appearance. He doesn't look on your outside, your flesh at all. He's looking on the spirit because he's a spirit and he deals with you spirit to spirit. He isn't looking at your actions, your sins, your failures. He's not angry with you in the way you may be angry with yourself. He's not disappointed with you the way you may be disappointed with yourself. God sees you spirit and that new creation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I get asked a question. I preached this message in a church one time, and the pastor was on vacation, and I started a phone ministry. It was about 6 or 8 people called the pastor where he was at on vacation. And want to know who in the world he had in the pulpit preaching the message that about sin, about God not seeing sin in our lives, not holding sin against us. Even had 1 or 2 left. And when he got back, he said, man, I've been trying to get them thorns out of my flesh. I've been praying to get them thorns out of my flesh for a long time. So I reckon I was the answer to his prayer. but anyway, it wasn't a long day. I started going to that church, and they wound up asking me to be the associate pastor there for about 4 or 5 years. So evidently it wasn't too bad after they found out what I understood what I was trying to tell them. In other words, I finished the message and got the message across. But there's a lot of people will hear this and hear from old time preaching, some hell and brimstone preaching that just don't want to agree with it. But God is God and He loves us. But does this free us to live in sin? No, it doesn't. It doesn't turn you free, let you free to just sin all sin, and God still wants you to live that kind of lifestyle. That's not what He wants you to do. It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." That's instructions of Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. That's instructions on how we should live in this world. It's telling us right there. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Simple instructions. Praise God. Serving God out of a pure heart will please Him, and He will inhabit works that you do, because you're not trying to earn anything. It's just because you love the Lord. That's why you do works. Why do you do works? You try to earn His favor? You try to get on His good side? Well, I got news for you. You're already on His good side. You're already there. You just got to convince yourself that you're already there. You don't have to convince God. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved. It's about love. Praise God. People will serve Him more out of love than they'll ever serve Him out of fear. Some preachers keep their congregations in fear. They want them in fear and trembling. Scare them into coming to church. Scare them into doing works in the church. Keep them in fear. There's hell and brimstone preachers is what I call them. If they can't keep them in fear, they can't keep them in the house. Well, that's not the way to preach God, because God is love. He's not fear. Praise God. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, I've given you a lot of scripture. If you want to write these down, and because I believe you got the back scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Talking about things that we do every day that we maybe not need to be doing. "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient," which means helpful. All things are not helpful. "All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought, I will not be brought under the power of any." That's a powerful scripture. You need to read that scripture. You need to write it down and look at it. All things are lawful to God, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. People that drink, people that smoke, people that eat too much, come under the power of what they're doing, because it becomes a habit. And sometimes that habit is not healthy. It's not good for you. And sometimes that habit may hurt others. Some people talk a not so fluent language. It's not very pretty on a daily basis. I hear it all the time. I don't like it, but sometimes I have to hear it. And I'm not even saying that these things are necessarily a sin. It may not be a sin to them. I know in some countries, I was reading a book the other day, and it was, I think, Finland. And they were having a church service after church. They were having a fellowship time. And they were drinking beer. And I don't know what else they were doing, but they were serving beer at their church fellowship. Well, So they were drinking beer. And they didn't think it was a problem with that. Now, personally, if I went over to Fellowship Hall and everybody was passing around pitchers of beer, I would have a little problem with it. But they didn't have any problem with it because that was their lifestyle. That's what they grew up with. That was their traditions. It was okay with them. But they would not drink a cup of coffee because they said drinking coffee would send you to hell. You see, that is it's a difference, and you can't judge them. And everybody, because that's just an example of seeing how different people in different lifestyles see things differently. But God sees it all the same. He doesn't see any of it as sin in your life. He sees your spirit man. And that's what he sees. But what he's talking about here is he is lawful. It may be lawful for you to participate in these things, but it may be damaging to your health and not a good witness and not appropriate because it can control your lives and lead you away from God, and it can hurt others. You understand what I'm saying? It can become a habit that can control your life, and it can hurt you physically, and it can cause you to drift away from God. And it can hurt others around you. And that's where you get into alcoholism, drug abuse, and these kind of things. That's what it's talking about. All right. Praise God. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. You're living in Christ. Christ is living in you. That's Romans 8:2. I love the book of Romans. That's one of my favorite books in the whole Bible. I read it many, many times, and I've scribbled so much writing in my Bible in the book of Romans, I can't even hardly read it. And I have to go to another Bible in some places to even read what I got in there. But praise God. The law of the Spirit of life. That's Jesus Christ living in you. Have made me free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. God's not shaming anybody. He's not into that. He's not into shaming anybody for things that they do. He's not into humiliation or guilt or condemnation. They don't produce one speck of holiness or righteousness. These things were driven into Jesus by the world on the cross in the form of three nails. They did all they could do to humiliate him, to make him feel guilty, and to condemn him on the cross. But that's not what God does. Jesus took on all our humiliation, guilt, and condemnation. He took it all on himself so that we wouldn't have to suffer it. God sees it all in Jesus Christ. He saw it all on his Son. And because Jesus took it all, because he did it all for us, we don't have to suffer that anymore. It's not for us. Jesus took care of it. He took care of it on the cross. Praise God. When you're alive in Christ Jesus, you become dynamic, ever active, confessing, repenting, living, responding, growing, reaping, changing, sowing, running, so on and on and on, in response to the Spirit living inside. These kind of Christians make a church alive, living in the present tense of grace, dynamic and unpredictable. Praise God. Free from rules and traditions and religion. So, serve God. What do you do to serve God? Well, I've got one more section of notes here. I'm going to go over real quickly, give you some idea. Religion can be a modern-day form of the law. You know, the law, Jesus took care of the law. He fulfilled the law. We no longer have to respond to the law. We respond to the law of love, which Jesus Christ brought to us. And now, religion, which is in a lot of churches, say that you have to have responsibility. And there are certain expectations when you come in the door. We expect you to do this. We expect you to do that. We expect you to dress a certain way. We expect you to talk a certain way. We expect you to walk a certain way. We expect you to be here at a certain time. And we expect you to do jobs. You see, that's the law of expectation. And that's brought on by religion. All right, then you got the word responsibility. They say, well, now that you're in church, you're in our church, you're responsible for certain things. You're responsible for keeping the nursery once a week. You're responsible for greeting once a week. You're responsible for singing once a week. And you're responsible for taking up collection once a week. Now, these are your responsibilities. You got them to do because you come into our church. Now, what do these things become when they're forced on you? They become dead works. They become dead works. So how do you go about it? How do you go about getting someone to serve in the church? You love them. You love them. You meet them. You greet them. You welcome them in. And you love them. And then God will move in their life. And instead of giving them responsibility, you look at their ability. What is it they're good at? What is it that they want to do? What are they eager to give back to God? They're expected by God to give their time, their talent, and their treasures. That's what's expected by God. You're given a portion of it. So you love them, you find out their abilities, and then let God move in their life. And they say, yeah, you know, I'd really like to spend a little time in the nursery. And I'd really enjoy greeting at the door one Sunday, if that'd be okay. And, I sing a little bit, or I play the guitar a little bit. And if I could talk to the praise and worship leader, you think they might let me help out some, maybe once in a while? So there it goes. They've got to have the desire, and they've got to have the ability, and they got to have the love. So those three things is what they got to have to be able to serve God. You can't force it on them, because then it becomes a dead work. So we don't want any dead works out of it. We want works of love. We want works of compassion. So why do I stand up here and sing? I sing because I love the Lord. That's why I do it, not because I'm a good singer. I do it because I love the Lord. And I love to see people praise and worship God. It's an awesome sight to be able to stand up here and see people raise their hand and just give glory to God. And it sets me on fire to be able to see that. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Praise God. You may not get but 1 in 10 doing it, but that 1 in 10 is enough. I'll take that 10%. Praise God. God will take it all, because when he looks down here, he sees the living spirit man in each and everybody here, and he sees it praising and worshiping him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. That's all I have for tonight. I'm going to end it up right there. And I hope to get a little something out of it. And understand, folks, that God's not looking down here at your sin. He don't see that. He's not here to condemn you. Anything you've done in the past is the past. It's over with. It's gone. God loves you. Nothing that you've done, no sin you've committed, can cause God to love you any less than what he does. He's a great and mighty God. And his Savior, his Son, has shed his blood and died and is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And I'm telling you, he's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's ready to come get his church. He's ready to come for us, because he wants us with him.
He wants us to, and of course, he's with us now, right here. But he's also at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back real soon. I can't believe it can be very long. Maybe 500 years, maybe 5,000 years from now. I don't know. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was 5 minutes from now, the way the world is today. But I'm looking forward to it, whether I'm here when he comes back or if I'm already with him and come back with him. Praise God. I'm with him either way. And I thank you all for being here tonight. Yes, you had a... Yes, that's something else too. Yes. That's sometimes the hardest thing to do is forgive yourself. But God's already forgiven you. That's a done deal. You got to forgive yourself. You got to put it in your past. And don't bring it up because it's just a memory. It's just a ghost. It's just something that's already been done, already gone. Nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do to change it. But you can move on and move on with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your time tonight. And I pray, Lord, that someone receives something from the word here tonight. Lord, I finished the work that you gave me to do. And I pray, Lord, that someone receives something in their heart, Lord God, that they can use, share with somebody else. Let these scriptures, Lord, they were true scriptures, Lord, for their truth in the word of God. And let them ring true in the hearts of the people. And Lord, let them know that how much you love them, Lord. Let them know how much you love them and that you're always there. You never leave them, never forsake them. And Lord, let them forgive themselves for the things that they've done. And let them move on with the work of God. And let them move on with love and compassion that you have for them so it will not become a dead work, Lord, but it'll be a work of love for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.